Hello and welcome to Pod Rights, a series of podcasts from the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm Graeme Innes, the Disability Discrimination Commissioner. The Australian Human Rights Commission is on the record arguing that same-sex marriage is a human right and has done much other work in the area of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex rights. And just 2 days ago, commissioners and staff had a float in the Sydney Mardi Gras parade. In today's Pod Rights, I'm going to talk with a well-known leader on same-sex issues. Shelley Argent from Brisbane is a mother from the suburbs, but is also the national spokesperson for parents and friends of lesbians and gays. She's a successful educationalist, advocate and lobbyist for the human rights of gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender people. And at last Saturday's Mardi Gras, she was chief of parade. So welcome to Pod Rights, Shelley.
Oh, thanks very much, Graeme.
Now, can we start by you telling your story, which I have to say I always find to be a moving one. How did you get involved in this area, in this movement?
Well, my son James, he came out when he was nearly 18 in 1995. And in Queensland, all that meant was that he only had the right to be gay, nothing else. Mm. And as a parent and a mother of two sons, I just felt that that was not fair and not right. And so I decided that something needed to be done. Mm. But first, what I did was I thought that I wanted to get to understand his world. Mm. And I went to work as an volunteer at the AIDS Council, and so I sort of slowly got into understanding what the gay community was all about and what was needed and a few things. And then as I got more confident, I started writing some resources, and then I started to get involved with the rights issues.
Mm. So you had two sons, one straight
yes,
and one gay.
That's right.
And I guess what you're saying is you felt you understood, you know, your straight son's world, but not necessarily your
gay son's. Yeah, that's right. And I thought it was very important because we didn't want to lose our son, and I wanted to be part of his life and understand his life. And so I thought that I needed to get in there and know what it was all about.
So that must have been a fascinating journey for you. And then you turned your involvement and interest from a personal one to a much broader involvement, didn't you?
Well, it is broader in a sense, but to me it's still very personal.
Oh, sure.
Because what I do is everything that I do for my son.
Sure.
And then I feel that others benefit from that. Mm. Because what I've discovered that as a parent, when you have a child that comes out as gay, you think you're living in a free and equal society in Australia. But when the child comes out, you realise quickly that it's not that free and equal for everybody. And I just didn't think that was right.
Yeah, tell us about, give us some examples of that.
Well, when James came out in 95, as I said, the only right he had was to be gay. Mm. There were no economic security for him and a partner. There was no workplace anti-discrimination laws. Mm. There was no recognition of the relationship. There was a lot of insecurity surrounding children in relationships. And over the 10-12 years that I've been doing it, in Queensland now, which is, and it's all state-based, in Queensland I worked very hard to get the surrogacy legislation up and running and the parental recognition up and going. I was very involved with Kevin Rudd and getting the 2007 removal of the economic discrimination. I've been very involved in the marriage equality campaign, and I've been going down to Canberra regularly now for years talking about the need for equality that surrounds marriage. Mm.
Let me come to marriage in a minute,
yes,
if I
sure.
may. But let me just take you back a step. So you were involved, and that's where I first heard your story, when the commission did its same-sex, same-entitlements
that's
inquiry.
That's right, yes.
And brought what I have to say to me was a new perspective, because you were neither the lobbyist who was a gay person or a lesbian person, nor were you the opponent of those changes, but you were bringing the parents' perspective.
And that's right. And that's what I try to do all the time, because it's not just about the gay person or the same-sex attracted couple. They have families and an extended family that are all involved. And when I was getting involved with the removal of the economic discrimination, at that time my son was a police officer in Queensland, and he was the youngest police officer, a police sergeant, at 28. Mm. So he was obviously doing a good job.
Mm.
And he was in charge of a watch house, but he had less rights than the criminals that he held in the watch house. If something had happened to him, his partner would have received no compensation. And that, to me, is just not right. Yeah. It is not fair.
Yeah. So your son was in a relationship, so you've been through those issues as a personal, as a parent as well.
Yes. And when you see the difference between your straight child in a relationship who doesn't have to consider any of these issues and takes his privileges and rights for granted, and then you have your gay child who has none of those benefits and is, in my opinion, and in a lot of parents' opinions, seen as less than first rate in their home country, again, things need to be addressed, and the government needs to recognise this.
And I didn't mean it to be demeaning at the time, and I certainly don't mean it to be demeaning now, but I think I described you, when I was talking to people about that inquiry, as I did at the start of this interview, as a mother from the from the suburbs, because
that's what I am.
You're an ordinary person, aren't you? You haven't been a lobbyist before.
No, not at all. I was a stay-at-home mum, and I was very happy being a stay-at-home mum.
Mm.
And I'm not a professional person by any means. And everything that I have done, I have learned to do. I've lived out of my comfort zone for the last 10, 12 years. And the advantage from doing it for so long is that I've got to know more people who can help me. I've become a little bit wiser and more confident and more forthright, which again helps me break through the barriers.
Now, as you've indicated very clearly, there are a range of issues on which you and PFLAG and others campaign.
Yes.
But I wanted to focus on probably the most current issue in this area, which is the question of same-sex marriage. And I stopped you before, but what is yours and PFLAG's position on this issue?
Well, to us, we see our sons and daughters needing the same rights as their brothers and sisters. And marriage, we've calculated, means the same. It doesn't matter whether you're same-sex attracted or opposite sex. Marriage is about planning a life together. It's about the respect. It's about the symbolism. It's so many things. It's not about sex, and it's not about children, because you don't need to be married to have children these days. But it's also important as well for our same-sex attracted children to have their relationship recognized and seen as valid, because that is extremely important, and it's how society values relationships by allowing marriage. And it's not the actual piece of paper. It's what that piece of paper means, and that means that you are a legitimate couple, and there's respect that comes with that automatically.
So, and it's the institution of marriage that society views highly.
That's right. And it's also, I mean, we have the churches coming in talking about it's a religious institution, but first it's a legal institution, and then the churches can then bless it if they want that relationship, and that's fine.
And maybe it's a social institution as well.
It is, exactly. And also an important thing that we need to keep in mind is nobody in the gay community is wanting or expecting religious bodies or groups to marry any couple that they don't want to. Because at the moment, churches are already not obliged to marry any couple they don't want to. For example, divorced couples. And the same applies with this.
Shelley, that's your clear position and the position of PFLAG now.
Yes.
But can I ask you, was there a journey for you on this issue when you when you discovered that your son was gay?
Well, the journey for me was not so much that he was gay and that I felt shame, blame, guilt or whatever, but I did feel extreme fear for him, because back in 95, there was the HIV, AIDS was still strong. That was a fear to me. I was fearful with him wanting to be in the police force, that he'd be discriminated against, all that sort of stuff. And I realised as time went on that my fears were not happening, and so that was a great comfort to me. But when I started to actually, I took over PFLAG and I started to think of where I would like to take the group as far as advocacy went, I remember standing one day thinking I would love to be able to talk to the politicians and I would love to be able to get out in and be a public face and talk about the issue of homosexuality and remove the fear that a lot of people had with it. And I feel that I've succeeded. But I also feel that I have gone much further than I would ever have anticipated, which is good.
But coming back to same-sex marriage, do you think there's a... I mean, when you think that same-sex marriage hasn't been part of that legal and social institution that we talked about, do you think that other people need to take a journey in their own minds in order to come to the point where they can be supportive of same-sex marriage?
Well, I think a lot of people have already done that. I mean, polls are showing that nearly 80% of Australian citizens are either supportive or don't care. And there's also a poll shows that 53% of Christians are in support of same-sex marriage. I mean, we are moving well and truly towards this. And again, what we have is other countries who have taken on board the issue of marriage equality, and it's working well. And these are also good Christian conservative countries like Spain and Argentina and Mexico. And in Mexico, it's just in the city, but they can get married, but they are recognised nationally.
Right.
And so, but it's a good Catholic country. And so really, a lot of the Australians should be understanding that there is nothing to fear. It's working in other countries, and so why won't it work here?
The polls do appear to support or indicate that the majority of Australians do support same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
But can you go behind those polls? How might they be affected by the way the question's asked and by the campaigning that occurs?
Well, I think when you ask a simple question, you just get a simple answer. They're not tricky questions. It's like, do you agree with same-sex marriage, or do you agree that same-sex couples should be allowed to marry? Yes, no, or don't know. And so, I mean, that's quite simple. And they're random. It's not like they keep picking the same people. It's not like they're asking lesbians and gays. It's just the community generally. And they're always galaxy polls. And they're always asking at least 1,000 people. Now, even...
And there's been a few of them, hasn't there?
Quite a few, and they're always coming through with the same figures. Now, even News Limited, they did a poll, I think late 2010, and they questioned 1,000 people in every electorate. Now, most of the people there, when you look at the figures, are either in favour, again, or don't care. There's only a few that really do object.
You've obviously, over the time of your campaigns, discussed this issue with many different people.
Yes.
What are the common arguments? You've put the common arguments in support, and you put them very clearly. What are the common arguments in opposition, and how do you respond to those?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is, the first one is, it's the tradition, it's between a man and a woman. And I say to that, well, yes, okay, that's the way it's always been, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it has to be, because relationships are evolving all the time. I mean, you would know that if, well, 20 years ago, say a black and a white couple, for example, that would have been frowned on. I remember as a child, if you were a Protestant marrying a Catholic, that was really frowned upon. And so again, it's changing. You've got step families, blended families. And so it's changing, and this is just another step in that evolvement. And then, of course, you then get the fear from a lot of the religious groups talking about how churches will be forced to marry same-sex couples. Well, to me, that is just scaremongering, because they know they don't have to, and we don't want them to.
No, no. And who'd want to get married in a church that didn't want to marry you anyway?
I agree.
Shelley, if there's such strong support, why do you think that this issue creates so much division politically?
I think because my very personal opinion is both sides of politics at the moment are fighting to see who can be the most conservative. And so this is seen as a conservative argument, and I think that they just need to get out of their comfort zone and move forward. I mean, we now have the Labor Party who have removed their fear factor and they've now made it party policy and are allowing a conscience vote, which is good. We now have Tony Abbott who's saying he will allow his backbenchers a conscience vote or a free vote, and that's good. But I don't understand why he's saying his frontbenchers can't have a conscience vote. And I think it's because he personally is against it, and so he just wants to have more share of the vote than what he's really entitled to.
What are your hopes for the future of the question of same-sex marriage, Shelley?
Well, I would love to think that it would come in by the end of this year, or at least be legislated for and then come in soon after. I think it's a case of not if, but when. And I do believe, honestly believe, that the Australian population are ready. You're never going to have 100% of the population, but that's with anything. You never please everybody all of the time. But I do think those who are at the moment wary of allowing same-sex marriage, when it comes in, they will see that their fears and concerns will not happen.
Well, Shelley, thank you for coming and talking to us on Podrights. It's really hard to argue with a mother who has the love and commitment and passion for both of your sons that you've clearly demonstrated.
Thank you, Graham. My pleasure.
And thanks to all of you listening to Podrights. Remember, this podcast is for you. So if you have a suggestion of someone with whom I should talk or a comment on the podcast, please email me at podrights@humanrights.gov.au. or find me and message me on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Graeme Innes, G-R-A-E-M-E-I-N-N-E-S. Also, if you want to engage more on human rights issues, have a look at tellmesomethingidontknow.gov.au. That's tellmesomethingidontknow.gov.au, our Something in Common project, where you can read fascinating human rights facts and stories, participate in polls, add your own content, and find out what you can do to advance human rights issues in Australia. In fact, there's currently a poll on the site about same-sex marriage. So here's the chance to cast your vote. www.tellmesomethingidontknow.gov.au. And keep your podcatchers ready for the next Podrights in the series, because human rights are for everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Graeme Innes. Goodbye for now.